The Corbett administration lifted a moratorium on drilling in state forests earlier this year. For much of the time leading up to that development, Richard Allen was head of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. That's the agency that oversees drilling in the forests. While he was in that role from 2011 to 2013, we wondered, who was he meeting with? And what were they talking about? 90.5 WESA's Josh Rollerson analyzed Allen's calendars to find out. As he reports, there's a lot missing from those calendars.
Richard Allen served as DCNR secretary from the beginning of the Corbett administration until he was let go in June of 2013. During that time, Allen served on the governor's Marcellus Shale Advisory Commission, which drafted recommendations that eventually became the basis for Act 13. The controversial legislation was approved in 2012 and regulates natural gas drilling in the Commonwealth. Even more controversial in some quarters was the administration's more recent decision to lift a moratorium on awarding new drilling leases in state parks and forests overseen by Allen's former department. Critics consider both policy outcomes largely favorable to oil and gas interests. These critics include Democratic State Senator Jim Furlow of Allegheny County, who says the industry unduly influences policy. Speaking at a rally last year, Furlow accused the administration of downplaying environmental concerns while maintaining a cozy relationship with the natural gas industry.
An industry that lacks proper regulatory oversight, really due to what I call power politics, played out in our state capitol, and certainly by an administration in the state capitol that could care less about protecting our environment as well as our natural resources.
That's a pretty strong claim, the kind that gets thrown around often in the heat of partisan politics. It's also difficult to support empirically. But it is possible to get a sense of the relationship between policymakers and stakeholders by studying how they interact. Former Secretary Allen's appointment calendars offer a window into his daily activities as the administration weighed the decision of whether to end the leasing moratorium. Over a period of 21 months, from March 2011 through the end of 2012, they list dozens of meetings with gas exploration and production companies, pipeline and distribution contractors, industry suppliers, and lobbyists from firms and trade groups that represent the industry. Those appointments include more than a dozen lunches or dinners that Allen took with energy companies and lobbyists, including some at upscale Harrisburg restaurants like Brico and Rock Bass Grill. State ethics rules don't require officials to report gifts of hospitality so long as their value does not exceed $650. So there's no easy way to know who picked up the tab for those outings. But who paid may not be that important. After all, there's nothing intrinsically improper about friendly relations between public officials and the constituencies they work with. And because drilling issues can be technically complex, policymakers often must work closely with drillers and their paid advocates, not just because industry has a valid stake in the process, but also because industry people are often among the most knowledgeable parties available to provide input. State Representative Greg Vitale, a Democrat and frequent critic of the industry, agrees that lobbyists have a legitimate role to play.
They have very important information to convey, and they should convey it, and we need them to convey it. It helps us make fair decisions.
But where oil and gas interests were able to make their voices heard in Allen's office, some environmental groups feel they've been shut out of the process. George Yugovic is chief counsel for the environmental watchdog group Penn Future.
The current administration seems to have a door that's wider open to industry than it is to public and citizens groups.
The industry is investing substantial resources to lubricate the hinges on that door. Since the drilling boom began in 2007, oil and gas interests have outspent environmental groups 34-1 on lobbying efforts. Allen's calendar records no meetings with Penn Future or with the Sierra Club, two of the leading organizations in Pennsylvania's anti-fracking movement. Both groups were regularly included in conversations with DCNR under previous administrations.
It didn't mean that they agreed or disagreed with you all the time, but on controversial issues, they tended to be willing to subject their decisions to public scrutiny, and we find that to be less the case now.
Richard Allen would not speak on tape for use in this story, but said in a phone interview that his door was always open to environmental groups. His schedule does show meetings with groups like the Pennsylvania Environmental Council, on whose board Allen served before joining the administration. Conservation-oriented foundations, including the Nature Conservancy, were also represented, as were several sportsmen's and outdoor recreation groups. All of those meetings combined, however, add up to fewer than half the number of industry contacts indicated in the calendar. But Allen says those data are misleading because he had frequent informal contacts with environmental groups. He says those meetings would not have been recorded on the calendar. Going only by the record, Allen had contact with lobbyists and industry representatives on average every other week. A much higher number of calendar events provides no information about whom Allen was meeting with or what was discussed. A total of 170 appointments were labeled private or else listed under similarly vague language, such as discussion, meeting, or simply matters. On several occasions in late 2012, entire workdays were blocked out in this way. In total, the unspecified appointments account for more than 283 hours of the secretary's time. Open government advocates like Alicia Green with the nonpartisan Sunlight Foundation find such omissions troubling.
It is somewhat unusual that there seems to be a lack of transparency. I think providing a detailed picture of meetings that are held on an official's time is incredibly important to creating public accountability.
DCNR spokeswoman Chris Novak said in an email that while she could not provide details about how Allen managed his calendars, the agency's scheduling software does allow some appointments to be designated private. Novak says the practice is normally reserved for personal, non-work-related matters such as doctor's appointments. Allen said he was treated for a health problem in 2012, which might account for some but not all of the unspecified listings. He could not otherwise account for his activities during the hundreds of hours for which there's no discernible record. Green says there may be valid reasons to omit the names of some contacts, but in those cases, it's up to the official to justify why details were withheld. In any case, she says the large number of private meetings alone raises transparency concerns.
I think, you know, if there were daily meetings or even weekly meetings that seem to accumulate a large portion of that person's official time, then there should be questions about what they were doing.
It's not the first time the handling of public records by officials in the Corbett administration has raised eyebrows. Former State Education Secretary Ron Tamales resigned his job as a special advisor to the governor last month after a records request for his calendars by another media outlet yielded scant evidence he'd been doing any work. Education Secretary Carolyn Dumoresque explained that was because department staffers routinely delete their emails. Responding to that disclosure, Governor Tom Corbett told reporters that he, too, avoids using email and, in fact, regularly deletes his messages in order to circumvent a possible open records request. Nathaniel Byerly with the state's Office of Open Records says it all points to ambiguity in the right-to-know law as to how agencies should handle information that could end up in the public record.
I'm not sure that there is a consensus or a understanding by everyone as to what is to be retained, how it's to be retained, and for how long it's supposed to be retained.
For 90.5 WESA and the Allegheny Front, I'm Josh Rawlerson.